KGST Fresno 1600 AM.
El siguiente es un programa pagado por el anunciante y 1600 AM ESPN Deportes no se hace responsable por las opiniones reflejadas en su contenido.
This is a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM, so please stay tuned.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community. Listen Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of the Portuguese American Hour. I'm Justice Neves, here, of course, with Dennis Borges.
Hello there. Yes, it's my pleasure to be here again on behalf of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno. And today, Justice, we have two very special guests coming all the way from across the middle, almost the other side of the pond, as it is known. We will be conversing with them for the entire hour. So thank you all for joining us. It is my pleasure to introduce our first guest, which we'll have two different segments with. He is currently the mayor of the city of Angra do Heroísmo. The city of Angra do Heroísmo is in the island of Terceira, where I was born and raised until the age of 10. And many people who are of Portuguese ancestry in Tulare, Kings, Fresno, and Kern counties, and even Madeira County, are also can trace their roots back to the archipelago, and many of them back to the island of Terceira and neighboring islands of São Jorge, Graciosa, Pico, and Faial. And so we'll be talking with the mayor, who is one of our guests for an upcoming conference. The conference is tomorrow. I should mention that again. We've mentioned it many times here on the Portuguese American Hour. But the conference is tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Agricultural Department Lecture Hall, which is known as AG 109. It's at 6 p.m. It is open to the public. Everyone is welcome to attend. The lecture will focus on Angra and the world, Angra, and its role in history in the Azores and beyond. And so the mayor is also here to participate in the Portuguese Band Festival, which will be held in Tulare on Saturday, all day. We've had much information about that in the last few editions of the Portuguese American Hour, including about 2 weeks ago, we had the president of the Tulare Filarmónica Portuguesa, who was here as our guest, Manuel Correia Jr. So, it is my pleasure to introduce and to welcome to the city of Fresno, to the KGST, to the Portuguese American Hour, our new outlets to communicate with the community via radio, a product of KGST Multicultural 1600 and the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute. Mayor Professor Alamu Menezes, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to participate in this program. I'm normally used to do this at a very much smaller place, you know. We also do a program in our local station there in Angra, but here it's different, and it's always a pleasure to be talking to people that have left the Azores so long ago, and some of them that were born here. And it's this is a relationship that we prize a lot. It's very important for us to keep. So it's my pleasure and my honor to be here with you today.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, of course, first of all, the city of Angra. I know you're going to be, that's going to be your topic for tomorrow. So we don't want to give that completely away because we want to keep the suspense.
There's plenty to be said about the city of Angra for
kind
for
of a version, today and tomorrow. Yeah, a short version of Angra, where it's located, Terceira, and a little bit for our listening audience.
Maybe we should start by looking where the Azores are, because sometimes we kind of lose the perspective when we talk about Portugal, because it's kind of Portugal, of course, it's a country, but geographically speaking, Portugal is it's a country that is in the Iberian Peninsula. The Azores are in the middle of the Atlantic, so it's a totally different environment and a totally different setting. We are something like 1,000 miles of your miles from the Iberian coast, and we are very close to Canada. The closest point in the North American continent is Cape Race in Canada. It's about 2,000 miles from the Azores. And we have a very special setting. We are an intercontinental place because we are in the border between three tectonic plates. The Eurasian one, where Europe sits, mm-hmm. the North American one, and the African one to the south. Two of the islands, Foz and Corvo, belong to the American continent, geologically speaking, of course. Terceira is somewhere in the middle, we are not sure where it falls because the fault line that divides all these plates crosses the island. And Angra is the capital city of Terceira. It's a place with a lot of history. It was the first city incorporated in the Azores in 1534. So we are kind of the oldest part of the New World, because when you consider Europe, we are part of the European expansion into the west. So the islands were not inhabited till the middle of the 15th century. Then people start settling there, and Angra was chosen to be the capital of the islands. First, it was just an administrative position, then a religious one. The Roman Catholic Church has its bishopric in there, so the Bishop of the Azores is in Angra, and because of that it became naturally the capital city and was as such till the beginning of the 19th century. Then we had a problem in between islands, so we kind of got divided, and it's typical of archipelagos where the islands become rivals, and we kind of divided, and Angra became one of the co-capitals of the island. Now we are what is called an autonomous region. It's like an associate state, something that is not very different from what you have maybe with Puerto Rico or with the Virgin mm-hmm. Islands, mm-hmm. something like that. We have our own government, and we have the government divided by three cities. The president of the government is in Ponta Delgada. It is the biggest city in population wise. Then in Angra is the representative of the Republic, that's the person that signs the laws and is a representative of the head of state, of the Portuguese head of state. And in Faial, in Horta, is the parliament. So we have the three capitals, and Angra is one of them, is the oldest city, is the second oldest city in the Atlantic Islands. The first one was Funchal in Madeira, that is 25 years older than Angra, and then was Angra.
And so a little bit about the story of Angra, which will be the theme of tomorrow's lecture. We're looking forward to it. I know the students are looking forward to it. And I know also community members from throughout the valley. Let's transition a little bit into this relationship with the city of Tulare. It is a sister city relationship.
That is the oldest in the Azores, and probably that time we are not absolutely sure, although we have tried to research the subject, but it's almost for sure the oldest relationship between one Portuguese city and a foreign city. It's already 52 mm-hmm. years old, and is something that we prize very much, because it's a relationship that was born from people. You know, it was not a political issue. It was a group of people from Tulare and a group of people in Angra that kind of organized and created this relationship that has endured all these years and has been with highs and lows, but has been always going steadily. And at this point, it's very important, and we are trying to make it even more important, including now the universities. We have a university campus of the University of the Azores in Angra. Of course, you have here Fresno, and we are trying to create here also a student exchange program that can allow students from here to get to know Angra and the other way around. And that's very interesting and important for us.
But Angra has several relationships with other cities. Can you talk us a little bit about that? Because yeah, it's kind of a fruitful, it's like, I believe, 7 or 8 at least, right?
We have 12.
12, okay, 12. Wow.
The oldest one is here, Fresno, but we have Brazilian sister cities. We have Cape Verdean, two Cape Verdean sister cities. We have two Portuguese ones, one in Évora and Alenquer. And we have one in Colombia, Cartagena de Indias, and one in China.
And one in China?
One in China, Jining. That's the birthplace of Confucius. So we have quite a range of sister cities. Most of them are places that, like Angra, are in the World Heritage List. And we have quite an active presence at the UNESCO World Heritage Management System. Angra was the vice president of the World Organization of the World Heritage Cities for the last 2 years, and we have been always participating a lot, and that created all these relations that are quite important for the city.
Can you talk a little bit about that? What is a World Heritage City, and what does that mean for Angra in your perspective?
Well, the World Heritage List was organized in the 60s to recognize those places all over the world, in states that are members of UNESCO, and some that are not, like the US is not. It has suspended its participation at this time, but still Philadelphia was enlisted last year because UNESCO is open for cities that autonomously apply. And basically it recognizes those places that had a role in the world history that made them relevant at a global level. And Angra is such because it was basically impossible during the sailing age to navigate the Atlantic without stopping in Angra. The wind pattern in the North Atlantic is such that ships coming from the south, and when I mean south means South America or Africa or India or China via the Cape route, were required to first go towards the American coast and then make a turn and go to the European side. And that route coincides with the Azores. And Angra was the harbor where all these ships stopped. So Angra is in the list not because of any monument in particular, but because of its role in the European expansion in the world. That's why the UNESCO listed Angra. And it's, of course, a big honor. Only places that are really relevant are in the list. It's very difficult to be included. It's every year lots of cities apply, but about 1 or 2% are accepted because one really has to show that it was relevant or is relevant in the world scene. And of course it's very important for Angra to be in that list because that gives a visibility to the city that you would never have. For a small place, we have 35,000 inhabitants in the municipality, in an island that has 56,000 at this point. For such a small place, to be vice president of a world organization is not easy.
Correct.
So it was the way of opening the door of the world. And that's why we have been always investing in this participation, and it has produced quite a bit of results.
So it's been good for Angra, but it's brought on some other responsibilities to upkeep the part of the list.
If you are in that list, you have to apply a set of rules that are set by this organization, and the place is visited every 5 years, and it's they have to verify that the rules are being followed. Just to give you an example, a big city like Dresden in Germany, in southern Germany, was in the list, and because they built a bridge that did not comply, they had to be removed from the list. So, of course, we don't want that to happen. That means that we have to apply very strict rules in terms of building, a special building code, the colors of the buildings, the decoration that is used in the facade. All of that has to be regulated. It brings quite a lot of rules, and it's not very pleasant if you want to be very creative with your house, but at the same time it brings an immense prestige. So it's
Let's talk a little bit about the island itself. The island of Terceira is, as you mentioned today, too, we had a lunch with students from my Portuguese 1B class and some students who did an exchange program, did an internship over the summer in the Azores. We'll talk about that program a little bit. But you were referring to some of the loss of population and some of the challenges that Angra and the island itself faces.
I would say that all of Europe is suffering that situation. We had a very drastic reduction in the number of kids being born. At this time in the island are more the old folks dying than the kids that are born every year. And that is quite a challenge, because if we are not able to attract some immigration, I mean immigration with an eye, people coming to the island, we will be losing population at very fast rate. Some of the neighboring islands, like Graciosa, that is very close to Terceira, at this point has a population that is less than one third of its historical maximum.
Wow.
The same goes in São Jorge, that at this point is already below 9,000, an island that used to have more than 20,000. And that's a trend that is kind of accelerating in all the islands. Terceira and São Miguel are the islands with more population in the Azores, are the ones that are kind of holding better, but we are getting to a point, if nothing happens that changes this course of events, in the next 10 years we are going to start feeling very strongly this loss of people. And of course you cannot have an economy without people, but the other way around is true. It means you cannot, the economy cannot grow if we don't have people, and the economy is the one that supports people. If we don't have a strong enough economy, people don't have jobs, and of course people will have to leave the island. So it's a very difficult balance, and it's something that we need to invest, is make our economy stronger in such a way that, that we can attract people from other countries.
Tourism has been kind of in the forefront in the Azores and in the island of Terceira as well. How important do you see that?
Tourism is a recent phenomenon in the Azores. It starts basically through São Miguel, where it has already quite an expression. In Terceira, we were not very keen to start, because basically the island lived for a very, very long time from the American base that that was there. I say was because although it's still, the Americans are still present, but now they have reduced it to a point that it's basically irrelevant for the economy.
Insignificant, yes.
Yeah, but during most of the last half of the 20th century, the base was the mainstay of our economy. So basically we had enough jobs and things were going well, and it was not a priority to make tourism grow. When the Americans decided to reduce drastically their presence at the base, we needed to diversify, and tourism was the easiest way to do it. And we have been growing quite a bit. Angra has, in the last 5 years, multiplied by 4 the number of visitors. It's a good number. Although this last year was not so good, we had some problems with transportation. Nowadays, the airlines are having problems because of planes. The availability of new planes is lower. Everybody heard about the Boeing problems and all these questions. It has impacted the island. And this last year we have not experienced the growth that we were used to.
Right. And so, but it is still an important factor, and probably one that will, as you see it in the near future, will have an impact in the islands as a way for economic growth.
Basically, it's a way of absorbing those workers that do not have the skills that are needed for other sectors of the economy. It's a low-skill area, and it's an area, of course, it doesn't pay that well, but it's enough to keep people in the island, so it's very important to make it grow. But of course we cannot live only off tourism. Actually, we belong to a group of islands that we call the Micronesia, that starts in the Canary Islands, Madeira, the Azores, and the Cape Verdean Islands. And when we look to the experience of the Canary Islands, that invested everything on
tourism.
We can see the the problems.
Right.
Because
you have to diversify a little bit.
We have to diversify, definitely. We need to keep our an agricultural base that is one of the mainstays of our economy. We need to keep it, and we need to make it even stronger. And of course, we have the ocean and the fisheries and everything that is related to the ocean. It's quite important. And now there's a new trend that is in the area of the computer science, and the people are producing computer programs and all this. It's a new area that is gaining importance, especially in Praia, and it's nowadays already an important sector of our economy. But we have to diversify, because when you look at the Canary Islands, you see how vulnerable those islands are. If something happens, like in Germany or in Britain, as is happening now with the Brexit, is enough to create a crisis immediately, because tourism is something that we depend on others. You know, we are not the ones making the choice if the persons are going to visit or not. If something happens in the place where these people come, immediately the economy goes down. And in the Canary Islands last year, they had about 20% unemployment.
Wow.
And that's alarming.
Okay. Yeah. We are speaking with Mayor Álomo Menezes from the city of Angra do Heroísmo in the island of Terceira, who is our guest here in the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at the California State University of Fresno. Justice is here with me, Esmeralda, running the board as always and doing the most awesome job. And we will continue speaking with Mayor Menezes. Professor Álomo Menezes, we'll talk a little bit about his personal history, his history with immigration, to tie it into our community. We'll continue talking to him right after the break, correct?
Yeah, so we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community. Listen Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Esta es la 1600 AM.
Esta moda do balão, ai em que vera de iradar.
Esta moda do balão, ai em que vera de iradar.
Com meninas pela rua, como pipas a rolar.
Com meninas pela rua, como pipas a rolar.
Faz parede, quem tem fiado faz pão.
Quem tem pedra faz parede, quem tem fiado faz pão.
Quem tem a mulher azeda tem vinagre todo ano.
Quem tem a mulher azeda tem vinagre todo ano.
Deixa nota a renda, deixa passar o balão.
Deixa nota a renda, deixa passar o balão.
E o balão é de madeira, forrado de papelão.
E o balão é de madeira, forrado de papelão.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community. Listen Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Welcome back to the Portuguese American Hour. We are here with our very special guest in studio.
Yes, we are. Professor Álomo Menezes, who is from the island of Terceira. We've talked already about the island. We've situated the archipelago for those who are not of Portuguese background or background, especially from the Azores. And we've talked about the economy of the island a little bit. We talked about the city of Angra, World Heritage City. And let's talk a little bit about immigration, which is obviously one of the main reasons why of your visit. First of all, let's take it to the Portuguese Band Festival. I know it's been a tradition for the city of Angra to be at this event. It's an event that brings together, I believe this year, 13 of the 14 bands. Usually anywhere between 12 to 14 can be present. It brings together a lot of people. Each band has, you know, anywhere between 30 to 40 members and then their families, so it's an easy event that has a big impact in the community. How did this come about of the city of Angra?
It has a big impact in Angra, because from this event every year we have one band that is going to Angra to open our main festivities called the San Joaninas. It's something that happens in around the 24th of June, and it's our biggest event. It actually is the biggest event in the Azores, so it joins quite a few thousand people in the streets. And one of the bands from California traditionally opens the event and is the guest band for the week. And normally this is set at this event. We already have the band for 2020 and we are already setting things for 2021, and now we have to start talking about 2022. And this happens as such because, of course, to go to the Azores with such a big group, it requires quite a bit of fundraising, and the bands need enough time to do that. So all this needs to be taken care with a couple years in advance to give enough time. And that's what normally happens around this event, and that's what is going to be done now.
And the bands look forward to going to the Azores. It's a big event, and it's also a big responsibility, but also it keeps them in tune with the motherland, let's put it that way, correct?
Yeah, it's a way of kind of refreshing this relationship. And nowadays these bands have people from all sorts of ethnic background, you know, it's not
correct.
It's no longer bands just of Portuguese or just of Azorean. So you have all these people from all over, like it kind of reflects the Californian makeup of people, and it's very important for the bands and very important for us, because the bands, of course, bring prestige and color, and it's really the guest band, so it's central to the festivity, and it's a way of showing anger to a wider audience, because normally, besides the people that play, they take their families, and sometimes it's a couple hundred people that go from here there. So it's a big event for here, and also a big event for there. That's why it's so important that we keep this tradition going. And
let's talk a little bit about the São Joaninas. I know there are people probably listening to the Portuguese American Hour who have never heard of that word.
we need to explain the word.
So let's explain the word and a little bit about the festival itself, because it's just a huge impact.
Okay, the São Joaninas comes from the words São João. São João means Saint John. But Saint John is, well, of course, it's a Christian saint, but in reality, it's a much older tradition. It's basically the festival that would mark the summer solstice. It happens always around the 21st of June now, but because the solstice has been moving with time, in the old times was the 24th, so we are doing it the 24th, but basically what we are celebrating is the longest day in the year. And it's a pagan festivity that started many, many, many years ago, thousands of years ago. It got Christianized as the day of São João, Saint John, or we call it Santos Populares in Portuguese. It's I don't know how to translate that. It's the saints that people like, or the most popular saints.
Yeah.
Because all these saints are around the 21st of June, because they are basically a Christianization of this solstice festivity. Mm-hmm. So it's our biggest fest. We normally start the Friday before the 24th, and we end the Sunday after the 24th. So it's always the week where this 24th falls, and it's a big thing. We start by a big cortege that normally opens exactly with the band that we're talking, the guest band. And then it starts a whole week of festivities that has parades, has sports events, has concerts, has all sorts of things. Basically, we have between 200 and 300 events happening during that week for all sorts of people and all sorts of things. All the institutions in the island participate, each one doing something. You have from a bullfight to a football match, everything is in there. And it brings a few thousand people from São Miguel. That's our main source of visitors. About 3,000 people come from São Miguel. People from all the islands around, lots of people from outside. So during that week, everything in the island that can lodge somebody's food is such in such a way that normally in these last years we are using the army barracks to lodge people because everything is full. We have to resort to the army. And of course, it's very important for the economy of the island. It generates quite a bit of revenue for all the participant institutions. It's the time where most of the fundraising activity happen. Mm-hmm. Everybody that has something to do is there selling food and
it's a culinary experience, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it's called a tashka. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's just a booth where you sell food or whatever. And it's the way for the island institutions to get some money, get some funding. So it's extremely important for the economy of the island. And of course, it's a big event also for the families. The tradition is that the enlarged family, the cousins and all the relatives will join and have at least one meal together during the festivity. So people go to these tashkas and eat together. So groups of friends. It also has this social aspect of bringing people together. And it's very important for us.
And the immigrants obviously participate, not just in the band, but participate
thousands of
in
them
thousands
go
of
there.
Them.
It's the favorite time for people that have left the island to go visit, because besides, of course, meeting family and friends, it's a way of enjoying a big festival, because it's really a big festival. We normally have, during the night, some bands. We normally have the best Portuguese and some international bands that play in a big arena with 5,000-6,000 people per concert. It's a big deal. And we have other venues for other kinds of music. Normally we have 5 different places with music, so people can choose according to their taste and their age. Basically, you have quieter music for the old folks, and you have the teenage
a little bit louder for the teenagers. Years ago, Angra is a very cultural city, and of course the Azores has this connection with the New World, whether it be Brazil and then later on the Americas, the North Americas, the United States of America, and of course Canada. And your family, we were talking about that on our way over to the radio station, about how your great-great-grandfather was from here.
I don't know exactly where.
But from California. Here.
Yeah. And most families in Terceira have family here. In my family, I have more cousins around LA, especially in Chino and the adjoining communities, than in Terceira. And I think in my family's, I mean, it's the norm. Most families are just like that. And we have a very strong relationship with, especially from Terceira here to California, but also to the East Coast, to Massachusetts and Rhode Island, where lots of people also live from Terceira. And of course, with the passing of time, this relationship is becoming more diverse, because it's no longer the people that moved from the Azores here, that immigrated themselves. It's second, third and fourth generation that, of course, have been intermarrying with other groups, so we have a wider and wider group, and that's very important for us to keep this relationship, especially because the way that we use it to relate necessarily has to change. We are no longer talking to people that immigrated from the Azores. We are talking to people that have roots there, but of course they are true Californians, and this requires a different position and a different speech, and that's what we are trying to do in Angra too, trying to relate to these people that are quite different from the original ones that came from there.
And so as we come to the end of our conversation, and again, I thank you for taking the time today. I know you just flew in throughout the night, and so it's a long flight, a long series of flights, and we are looking forward, and I wanted to reiterate that with our folks that are listening to the Portuguese American Hour tomorrow at the Ag Lecture Hall. The room is a rather large room, so we want to see it filled with folks who are wanting to learn more about Angra, about the Azores. Professor Alomanizer, as you have heard for the last 35 minutes or so, He is a fascinating man with lots of knowledge. That's true. It's true. I've said that in public several times, so you know it's true. As we come to an end, though, and I appreciate again your time, and I invite everyone again. The lectures are free of charge, and so the lectures are a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute, something recently created and opened to the public by the president of the government, Azores Vasco Cordeiro, who gave the inaugural lecture. And the lectures are, like I said, free of charge. Are a product of many cooperations, FLAD and other entities, and this lecture with a special cooperation from the municipality of Angra do Heroísmo. And so we want to thank you for your presence. But as you mentioned, the problem, the reality of the Portuguese Americans of second, third, your long lost cousins, let's put this way, of your of the time that your great grandfather was here, you know, these cousins who are still your cousins of third and fourth generation, the community. I was in Sacramento recently, and I had a gentleman who told me that his great great grandfather immigrated over here in 1835, and we always thought the immigration was around 1850, but no, it was just before. And so there's this wealth of people who, many of them, we're hoping are listening to the Portuguese American Hour. It's a language they understand, English. It's their the language they communicate every day. How do we get these folks to discover Angra? Because I am from Terceira, I am from the city of Praia, as our next guest, but I'm a partial Angrense.
Well, in my case, I am also born in Praia, so
that's right,
I am registered.
That's right. You were also part of the movement to promote Angra. We love Angra. Angra was city, you know.
Actually, I am from a place called Altares in the northern coast of the island. But because of the rules of registration at that time, I am registered as being a citizen of Praia. Because I was into the hospital of Praia. That's how I came to this world.
So in a couple of minutes that we have left for this segment, Mayor Alan Menezes, Professor Alan Menezes, can you tell us a little bit about just a couple other events besides the São Joaninas? Why should Portuguese Americans discover this beautiful island?
Well, the Azores are... I don't know how to put this in... The Azores are a beautiful place. And, of course, I'm talking about something where I live, but I have been going around the world quite a bit. And I can assure you that you'll find in the Azores a diversity of landscape and of culture and a biodiversity that you will not find in many places around the world. It's volcanic islands in the middle of the ocean, so it's a purely oceanic environment. Besides the land, and the land is beautiful in terms of landscape, it's all green. It rains a lot. It's not the same as here. It's actually the thing that one notices the most when coming, especially at this time of the year, is the difference. Mm-hmm. It's all green and wet there. Here it's all dry.
Yep.
So it's all green, lush green. And of course we have the ocean around and with very clear water. So it's the place to watch whales, dolphins, fish, to dive and learn how to dive. The water is quite warm, although we are not that much to the south, but we have the Gulf Stream that brings warm water from the Caribbean. So we have water that is 23 in some centigrades, that is something like in the low 80s. Mm-hmm. So it's quite warm for swimming. And besides that, we have quite a bit of culture for people that, especially those that have roots there, that want to learn a little bit of how it is in the Azores and the environment from where their ancestors came. It's quite interesting to visit. So I believe it's, although it's far away, we are half a world away, it's something like 8,500 kilometers from here. That's 6,000 miles.
Yes.
So it's far away. But it's not that far away. People go to places much further.
Mm-hmm.
You can, from here, fly to any destination in one of the major European capitals and then fly back to the Azores, or to Boston and then to the Azores, or to Toronto and then to the Azores. So there's many routes that lead there. During the summer, there are even some flights that leave San Francisco, Oakland, to Terceira. So it's not that difficult to get there. It costs a little bit, yes, but
Everything costs worth a little bit. Yes. So here's the invitation from Mayor Alan Menezes to visit the island of Terceira or all of the islands in the Azores where your family is from, or even if you don't know where your family is from, Justice doesn't, but we'll go there someday so he can track that down. Again, thank you, Professor Alan Menezes.
Well, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
And we hope to see all of you at the lecture tomorrow at 6 p.m. in the Agricultural Lecture Hall, Ag 109. This concludes the first two parts dedicated to Mayor Alan Menezes, our guest at the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute lecture tomorrow evening at Fresno State. And we're going to be back soon, correct?
Yeah, we will be right back with our next guest, so stay tuned.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community. Listen Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
1600 AM.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community. Listen Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Welcome back to the Portuguese American Hour. We are back with our next guest, Dennis.
That's right. This is going to be our last segment and the last 20 minutes of the Portuguese American Hour here on Multicultural 1600 AM KGSD. Thank you all again for joining us. And our second guest is part of the committee that is here visiting from the island of Terceira. She is a professor at the University of the Azores. She is Professor Emiliana Silva. Welcome.
Thank you.
We are so happy to have you here. You are a professor in the agricultural fields, correct? So tell us a little bit about your specialty as a professor.
Okay, I'm an agricultural economist, and I study about dairy farms in the Azores, and exactly about if they are profitable or not. Mm-hmm. The main activity in the Azores is agriculture, mm-hmm, and dairy products. But we are very small when comparing here with the United States. We have about average of animals per farm, 32, mm-hmm, as you can see here, is not a figure for here.
No. Yeah, we have an average of about 3,000.
Yes, and everything is small there, correct, the industry, the sales, and everything is small. And nowadays we have a problem, a new concern about environmental concerns, mm-hmm, and we want to produce, but in the, a more friendly, mm-hmm, way. I think it could be a way, a challenge for agriculture in the Azores to produce in the organic way.
Correct.
And we have some, okay, it's just starting there. But in the Azores, nowadays I'm very interested about sovereignty, mm-hmm, and safety agriculture, because we only produce milk, mm-hmm, and about the others, food, we haven't enough to the Azores.
Tell us a little bit about the campus of the University of the Azores in Terceira Island, where you teach and where you do your research, correct?
Okay. Well, I belong to the Faculty of Science and Environment, and there we have two departments. One department is agricultural science, and another one is environmental. We have some degrees, mm-hmm, and one of the most traditional and I think important is the agrarian science. They have two, after two branch. One is zootechnic, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, is animal production, mm-hmm, and another one is agronomy. We have there some degrees, and we have masters. Mm-hmm. And the masters from my university, mm-hmm, are animal protection, and we have food technology, mm-hmm, and another one is the water management. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think they are adequate to our research and in our university, namely in the technology department. Mm-hmm. We are very recognized around the world, mm-hmm, and we have some patents, and people work a lot about dairy industry. We have a very good group working on that. Yes,
at a different level, as you said, than here in the dairy farms, especially in California. But the dairy industry continues to be one of the most important industries of the Azores, correct?
Yes, I think the main industry in the Azores is dairy.
And they're happy cows. They are happy cows. Yes,
it's happy cows, and now they are starting to organic milk.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. And it's okay. I think maybe it's our future. We can do something different, valuable, and with the brand Marca Sorge.
Right. And so it's a. How do you see? I know that you've been involved, and we thank you for your involvement, and we thank you for your service, and we thank you for being the mother to four kids for a month last year in the Azores. For students who did the study, the internship. Mm-hmm. How do you see these programs with California State University Fresno? I know you've been here before. Mm-hmm. I believe 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Yes,
yes. And you will be here spending most of the day, actually tomorrow, at the university, mm-hmm, in meetings, and also as a visiting professor, you know, visiting some of the classes, and again some more on Friday itself. How do you see this movement of a possible new arrangements between the two universities that can help the Azores, but also, mm-hmm, can help our students here have a different perspective of what, yes, agriculture can be? I mean, you don't have to have 3,000 cows, yeah, to survive in some parts of the world. Yes.
I think it's very important, and it is a role that we have to develop a lot. I think it's important for the boys, they went to Azores, because, mm-hmm, there is a different situation, is a different culture, different dimension, and sometimes they realize that small is beautiful, and yes, indeed, we can survive,
right,
but it's very different, because when they go to a bakery, because it was agribusiness last year, and another places, it's very, very small.
Very family oriented.
Yes, familiar. Yes. And when our students they came here to, mm-hmm, Fresno, they say it was so different, mm-hmm, because it was so big. And even at the university, our students from Azores say that here they are more practiced than in the Azores. And but our students, our Fresno students, they see how different is Terceira and the labor culture and identity, and maybe I think they realize we are happy there, and we live to be happy, not only for work, mm-hmm, but we have a social life very intense, mm-hmm, and is that.
That's right. It's the way Terceira is. It's the amusement park of the Azores,
yes,
as it is known. You know, there are eight islands and one amusement park, and we are a giant amusement park. So, Professor Emiliana Silva, some of the programs that you work with, you say you work and you do your research around dairy farms in the Azores, mm-hmm, being profitable and, you know, making a living and growing. And do you see that this new movement for organic can be kind of something that will distinguish the Azores from other areas?
Right now we have an image of that we produce milk based on grass. Mm-hmm. And they produce a different milk, is very healthy. Mm-hmm. I think that we can develop this way because we are just small and we cannot produce for whole world, mm-hmm. but we can have some specific market, includes the we call Saudade market.
Right, because the immigrants, yes, yeah, and the second immigrants. Generation, etc.
And I think that, yes, you can do, because we have some specific and very, very good products. Mm-hmm. I usually say, not because I'm from Terceira, but the best butter of the Azores, of the world, is from Azores,
yes,
from Terceira Island, is Milhavre. Mm. You can sell here because it's very, very good.
I was at a tourist thing a few months ago with my wife, actually, on a cruise, and we met some people from Italy, a young couple who was on their honeymoon, and they said that the best butter they had ever tasted, yeah, came from Portugal. And I said, probably from the Azores. She goes, yes, Los Azores. Yeah, I said, yes, from the Azores. And I could tell that she was, of course, this was American butter that they had there, so it was kind of interesting because, mm-hmm, every time she would have a piece of bread, she would open her butter and she'd put lots of salt. Because our butter has a little bit of salt, and that's why she liked it. It is indeed a good butter. Do you, but still, the products produced in the Azores, mm-hmm, dairy products,
yes,
milk, butter, cheese,
is
the major market still mainland Portugal?
Yes, after Spain.
Okay.
Yes, also. But yes, Spain is a good market.
Okay.
And sometimes they try to sell to Africa, mm-hmm, and even to China,
right,
yes,
right.
They already intend to, yes, to sell there, because, but it is quite difficult.
But you have to limit, because the quantity is limited, so can't.
And yes, I think that we can sell our products, because like Saint-Georges, mm-hmm, cheese
uh-huh,
is one of the best, mm-hmm, of the world,
mm-hmm,
and maybe we can just sell it for who can pay it, who, mm-hmm, can. It's like a small market,
right,
but very, right, valuable.
Yeah. You get a good price from it.
Yes,
because it's not like you can repeat, yeah, it anywhere else in the world. You
and
know?
We, yeah, have, and we can do that with cheese and pineapple, because it tastes different.
Mm-hmm.
If you taste pineapple from Azores,
mm-hmm,
you cannot.
It's a real ananas. It's not a bakashi.
Yeah, not a bakashi. Yes, because it's that they have that taste. Acid,
yes,
and sweet, and yes, is really unique in the world.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. We wish you lots of good luck tomorrow and the next day as you bring us some wealth of information to our students, and also hopefully, mm-hmm, this can be the beginning of an expanded program that we all want for Fresno State students and for students from the University of the Azores. And in the few minutes that we have left, I want you to, if you don't mind, I know you're not going to give us the recipe, but tell us a little bit about what is a Dona Amélia. So people are out there, and I know they've heard this, there's a sweet in the Azores in Terceira called Dona Amélia. What is that? Is that a ice cream?
If you eat with ice cream, Dona Amélia is perfect.
Oh, I bet it
vanilla
is.
Ice cream
is perfect.
It's perfect
with anything.
Well,
so what is a Dona Amélia?
Dona Amélia is like a small cake,
yes,
queixada,
right,
and I think it was made, mm-hmm, for the first time when the queen, Dona, yeah, Amélia, went to Azores. It's very, very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a little bit of maize,
mm-hmm,
sugar,
mm-hmm,
sugar, eggs,
mm-hmm,
and black honey.
Black honey. Wow,
yes, and cinnamon.
Yes.
You cook that, you put on the oven, uh-huh, and after you have to cover,
uh-huh,
with I said sugar?
Yes, and like powdered sugar. Yes, powdered sugar. Yes.
And it is really sweet, but really tastes good.
Very good.
For me, it is one of the best we have in the Azores.
Yeah, I think it's a very unique sweet. And when we celebrated the 50th anniversary of the sister city relationship between Tulare and Angra, I took a group of students, high school students at the time, six, who went with us, and one of them, the principal's daughter, Braden Nunley, fell in love with Dona Amelia and Professor Regina, who you might know, is kind of related, you know, I mean, with the mayor, the mayor's wife, surprised Braden the last day with a Dona Amelia cake, which she had never heard of. She thought it was just a queijada, and she brought this Dona Amelia cake, and I think that Braden overdosed on Dona Amelia.
But you have another good, like Cajadas de Graciosa, Cajadas de Vila Franca, and of course, Cajadas Conde da Praia.
That's, oh, of course.
Very unique.
Yes, very, very. Well, thank you so much. That was Professor Emiliana Silva, who is going to be spending the next couple of days, Thursday and Friday, at the California State University Fresno, mostly in the Jordan College of Agricultural Technology, Agricultural Science and Technology, meeting and with different faculty leaders, also meeting with students, and hopefully coming up with some different ideas so we can expand this program. Mm-hmm. I think it's a worthwhile program, don't you?
Yes, because is important for the young people to see another parts of the world, the another parts of the way they work, and even they know, if they know a different culture, maybe we can both.
That's right. It is a relationship win-win.
It is
a win-win situation when you can get students and faculty members to collaborate. Well, again, thank you to Professor Emiliana Silva. Thank you to Mayor Professor Alamu Menezes. Thank you to Justice for being with us. Thank you to Esmeralda for all her work back there in silence. And this was another edition of the Portuguese American Hour. Just briefly about some upcoming events, because we always like to talk about that in the next minute or so that we have. Well, of course, tomorrow evening, it's 6 p.m. in the ACT Lecture Hall at the California State University of Fresno, Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute Lecture Series, our third lecture of this semester with Professor Alamu Menezes. It's open to the public and free of charge. And then on Saturday, for those in the community, do not forget to go to the Portuguese Band Festival, California Portuguese Bands, at the TDES Hall. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning with the opening ceremonies. 13 bands participating. It's free of charge. Anyone can attend. Lots of really good opportunity for those of you who are Portuguese background, who haven't tasted Portuguese food in a while, to taste, because there's going to be an event, a tasca there called Tasca dos Três, and they will have all kinds of Portuguese foods for you to taste throughout the day, from like 9 in the morning until about 9 to 10 o'clock at night. So that's the Portuguese Band Festival this Saturday at the TDS Hall in Tulare. We'll come back next week and talk about some of the other events throughout the rest of the year.
Yep, that's perfect. So with that, stay tuned, or tune in next week. And thank you for listening.
Thank you so much. We'll see you.
This was a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM.
KGST Fresno, La 1600 AM.